there are two very strange things that we do. It's in the midst of Tkiyas Shofar. So I think we could perhaps learn some very important lessons, not just about some intricacies of Tkiyas Shofar. It's always nice to give a shit about Tkiyas Shofar. I don't know if this is the time and place to talk about the details of the Shofar. But I think there's some important lessons that we can derive that will take us through our Baruch Hashem for ourselves, for our Tamidim, for those who we come into contact with as well. One of the strange things that we do with Tkiyas Shofar is the amount of times that we blow the Shofar. We blow so many times. The Gemara explains to us the end of Masechet Rosh Hashanah way above and beyond literally the call of duty. Min HaTorah, one only has to hear the Shofar maximum 9 times. Tkiyah, Truah, Tkiyah, Tkiyah, Truah, Tkiyah, Tkiyah, Truah, Tkiyah, that's it. That's the Din Min HaTorah. That's the biggest chumrah of all the shittas in the Gemara. That's the mitzvah Min HaTorah of Tkiyah Shofar. So how in the world did 9 kolos translated to so many times? We're all aware, the Gemara tells us, there was a Sofek, there was a Shiloh, we're not sure what it's truly, and it's actually Machlokas, are we really not sure? Do we know? Not know. Again, at the end of the day, so we blow multiple Truas, we blow Shvarims and Shvarim Truas, just to cover ourselves at all bases, just to make sure that we fulfill this wonderful mitzvah properly. And then, we do something strange. We quoted in Shir this week. It gives us a little bit of a pat on the back. Ashrei ha'am yodei Shrua. Happy is the nation that knows what the Truah is. It's like a little bit sarcastic. We don't know what the truth is. That's why we just blew it 100 times, because we're not quite sure what the truth is. Straight. But I didn't want to talk about that yet. I want to talk about the next thing we do. We then go ahead, and everything that we blew before, we go and repeat it again. We blow everything, all 30 kolos, another 30 kolos. And to this, the Gemara says, what are we blowing for? What are we trying to cut? We yell to the mitzvah already. By the time you start davening musaf, we know for a fact we yell to the mitzvah. Come Chazal and say, a very cryptic statement, we're coming to confuse the Satan. Who would have thought after all these years the Satan would have caught on? No. La'arve es ha-Satan. That's why we're blowing so many extra kiyas. Davening so long in Rosh Hashanah, la'arve es ha-Satan. So I want to understand a little bit who the Satan is, what the Satan is. Well, who exactly are we trying to confuse? And how are we doing it? How is that blowing the shofar somehow accomplishing that desired goal of la'arve es ha-Satan? Rashi, on the spot, gives us a fascinating insight to what Satan is all about. Rashi says that a person does the mitzvah Tkiyas Shofar, you can do it in one of two ways. It's touched a little bit on what we spoke about earlier today. You can do a mitzvah because, you know, so we got to do it. Kashatziv Hashem is Moshe, we got to do it. We're not particularly excited about it. We don't really care about it. We're not doing it like Shalem. That's one way of doing a mitzvah. And then there's another way of doing a mitzvah. Rashi says, we do a mitzvah, we talk chavivos, of love, and endearment, of excitement. So says Rashi, how do you gauge? What's the measuring rod? How do you know whether a person is doing a mitzvah, we talk chiba, we talk excitement, we talk love, or he's just kind of doing it, we call it to be yaitzi zayin, just to fulfill. So says Rashi, if you're doing a mitzvah, not because you particularly want to, not because you particularly love it, you're just nebuch, we're kind of stuck with it, and everyone's doing it, so we got to do it also. So says Rashi, then you look to get the bare minimum. You look to cut corners with the performance of the mitzvah. How can I get out of this with the least effort? How can I get out of it with the least exertion? How do I get out of it with the least amount of time? Because I got bigger and better things to do today. That's one way of doing a mitzvah. A mitzvah is done mitoch chavivos. A mitzvah is done out of love. So says Rashi, a mitzvah is done out of love. You take care to do it properly. You be yotze, the sveikas. You blow echa. You go above and beyond the call of duty to show, to indicate how much I love doing the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Rashi, you want to know what's going to be ma'aviv es ha-satan? You want to know what's ultimately going to mix up that satan? Chavivas ha-mitzvah of Klal Yisrael. But I say, you know, some people would speak about Arvus HaSatan, maybe some people from a less Litvisha, Misnagdisha bent would have other different approaches to Arvus HaSatan. But listen, you can't blame me. I grew up in a, you know, between you and me, my family's really Galtziana and Rochasidim from both sides, but Irish. But I grew up in a, you know, in a hardcore Litvisha tradition. So let me try to give a quote unquote rational, quote unquote down to earth approach to who the Satan is and how the Satan is really getting thrown off the base. Chazal tell us who Satan, who Yetzer Hara, who Malach HaMaves, it comes by a lot of different names. The Satan we're talking about is not some guy running around heaven with a pitchfork and a red tail or something. That's not the Satan I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Satan within each and every one of us. Our own inclinations, our own yetzaharas, those forces within our own minds and hearts and souls that are drawing us away from Avodas Hashem. And the question is, how do we mix up those forces? How do we confuse ourselves? How do we somehow protect ourselves from those forces that are even tugging at us in all directions to keep us away from Avodas Hashem? And the answer is so simple, so straightforward. Says Rashi, you know we do that? Chavivus HaMitzvah. If a person loves Torah and mitzvahs, it's very simple. There's not going to be any room for those forces to survive. A person's mind can only we are multitasking. With everything at the end of the day, even we have limitations. It's hard for us to believe it. Even we can't focus on so many things. If our focus, if our love, if our excitement is in the realm of Torah and mitzvahs, by definition, that's going to serve as the greatest protection against all else that's coming to take us out of the realm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam in Sefer Kedusha describes the significance of a life of Kedusha. And we know the Chazal Institute and the Torah Institute, the Chazal Institute, certain siyagim, certain safeguards, certain barriers to protect us in many, many areas, and especially in the realm, the area of Tzniyas and the realm of Kedusha. And the Rambam goes through some of the details as to what those gedara, what those safeguards, what those fences are. And then at the end, the Rambam writes, it's all nice and all fine and dandy to talk about gedarim, but at the end of the day, says the Rambam, there's only one thing that's time-tested that's going to work. If a person fills themselves up with Torah, a person fills themselves up with Kedusha, so memela, just by definition, there's not going to be any room for anything else. That's what Rashi is saying here also. La'arves ha-sotah means fill yourself up with such avas Hashem, such avas ha-ter, such avas ha-mitzvah, such avas ha-shol. If you focus on such positive things, there won't be any room. The sotah is not going to have a leg to stand on. That's the beginning. That's where it all starts with. Chavivas ha-mitzvah. So let's talk a little bit about this notion of chavivas ha-mitzvah, some of the techniques that perhaps we can use to attain this level of chavivas ha-mitzvah. There is a pasuk that we recite right before Tekiyah Shofar. Interestingly enough, it's part of the acrostic of the six psukim, there are several psukim we say, but there are six that make up the acrostic of Kra Satan. Take a look at the Machzeh and Rosh Hashanah. When you're saying the psukim right before, right after Lamatzech Mekach Mizmor, right before the Baal Tekiyah begins with the brachas, so there are a series of psukim that start with Kol Shemata, Rosh Tevarach Emes, each of the letters of Kra Satan, literally to rip up, to get rid of the Satan. One of the psukim that we say is Tuv Tam Vadas Lamdeini Kivim Mitzvaysecha Hetmanti. In the rough translation, Tuv Tam Vadas Lamdeini Kadosh Baruch Hu, teach me a little bit about the reasons of the mitzvahs. Tuv Tam, I want to understand what I'm doing. I'm about to blow shofar. What am I doing this for? Tuv Tam Vadas Lamdeini. I keep Shabbos every week. What am I supposed to gain? What am I supposed to learn? How is this going to affect me? Tuv Tam Vadas Lamdeini. And then we turn around and we say, Kiv mitzvasecha hamanti, because I believe in your mitzvahs. Those two statements are both true, but l'chora, they got victory. Tuv tam v'das tam deini means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. Let me question and let me delve into the depths. Let me read a Sefer HaChinuch, let me read Rav Shem Shavala. Let me understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. You know why? Kiv mitzvasecha hamanti. Emunah means, I'm not asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not asking for any answers. I'm not interested in discussing why I'm doing, you know why I'm doing mitzvahs? Kashetziva Hashem is Moshe. That's why I'm doing mitzvahs. So what's pshat? Is it Tuv Tam V'Das Lamdeini? Am I asking for an Avodas Hashem that's Tuv Tam V'Das, that's predicated on understanding, on what moral and religious and ethical lessons can I glean from Shmiras HaMitzvahs? Or is it Amuna Pshuta, Kiv Mitzvasecha Man? Don't ask any questions. Don't ask any questions. And I think that the answer is that they're both true. That the starting point is Kivim Mitzvasecha Amanti. We have to approach Avodas Hashem with the attitude, we may not have all the answers. And there may be certain things in our Masorah that we don't quite understand. And there may be certain times when we feel maybe we're not gaining, quote unquote, religiously from this activity. Kivim Mitzvasecha Amanti. I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I believe in His Torah, I believe in His mitzvahs, that I'm doing it because Kashatziv Hashem is Moshe. Whether I understand what I'm doing, whether I don't understand what I'm doing, someday maybe I will, and like Shlomo Melech said, someday maybe I won't. I'm asking Echav Yechok Yemeni. Sometimes I will never understand Parah Aduma, and I still perform the mitzvah. How am I? Still perform the mitzvah Parah Aduma. Keep mitzvah Sechaman. So the starting point is keep mitzvah Sechaman. However, we should never make the mistake of thinking that keeping mitzvah secha amanti means that therefore I shouldn't delve, and therefore I shouldn't question, and therefore I shouldn't try to learn, and therefore I shouldn't try to understand, I shouldn't try to find some tama mitzvah that relates to me right now in the year Tavshinayin Hey, Ba'alein Tavshinayin Vav, Ba'alein L'Tova, Tuv Tam V'Dasam Deini, I beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu to please open my eyes to be able to understand how Torah speaks to me, how the mitzvah speaks to me. What can I gain? What can I get? What can I learn from this mitzvah? How can this make me into a better person? How can this mitzvah make me into a better Oved Hashem? There's nothing wrong and there's everything right with answering those questions, provided that it has the prerequisite of Kiv Mitzvah Zechamanti. Provided that it's a nasa, a makabal b'asiyas ha-mitzvahs, and then I'm willing to discuss and to learn and to delve, that's wonderful, that's beautiful, that's exactly what I'm supposed to be doing, as long as it's predicated on Kibbutz Asanti. It's the proper delving into reasons of mitzvahs, the proper delving into Hashkofas HaTorah, that ultimately will assist us in creating a tremendous Chavivas HaMitzvah. How do you love something? How do you come to really endear yourself to something? How do you love something? And the Rambam has this famous comment at the end of the Chos Tshuva, where the Rambam qualifies the mitzvah of V'yahavtas Hashem Lekecha. How do you love a Kodesh Baruch Hu? We spoke a little bit about before. How do you do that mitzvah? Haftas Hashem L'kecha. Tell me, how do you do it? So the Rambam says, I'm going to substitute a word. Instead of Yahaftas Hashem L'kecha, V'yadata Hashem L'kecha. The way to be Oev Hashem is to know Hashem. V'yadata Hashem L'kecha. Now, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, anachnu yodim otcha. How do you know a Kodesh Baruch Hu? So lo yirani adam v'chai, we can't really know the essence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu beyond human comprehension. So there's a pasuk that appears in Pashat Kesisa that says it all. Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to understand you. I want to really know. I want to know your essence. I really want to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally says to Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, I'm going to give you a glimpse. I'm not going to give you the whole picture. I'm going to give you a glimpse. For Isa Sacharai, obviously Derech Moshe, for Isa Sacharai, for Nile Ro, I'm going to show you my back. I'm going to show you a little bit, you know, it's like Mahavdo. If you see somebody walking down the block, sometimes you can tell by looking at the way they walk. I can't even see their face from the back. I know exactly what that is. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, for Isa Sachar, I'm going to show you, I'm going to give you a little bit of knowledge. I'm going to grant you of who and what I am. Now we are really gearing up for this next pasuk. I mean, I would be so excited. But what's the next pasuk? And the Aliyah ends. What's the drama? The Aliyah ends. Ufanai. Well, we're about to find out. What is it? We're going to find out a little bit about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the next pasuk? The next pasuk is V'yomer Moshe P'sol L'choshtim L'chos Avodim K'rishonim. Give me a set of luchos. I'm going to write to you Shabbos. I'm going to write to you L'sirtza. I'm going to write to you L'sachmer. I'm going to write to you L'sis Hashem L'shem L'chos Avodim. I'm going to write you the Seres HaDibras. I'm going to write you the Tired Mitzvahs. Wait a second. We were expecting some knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the answer? That is the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By learning his mitzvahs, by identifying with his mitzvahs, by delving into his mitzvahs, that's how we learn about Yedias Hashem. And then the corollary of that is, so three steps. Yedias HaTorah V'Mitzvahs equals Yedias Hashem. Yedias Hashem equals Avas Hashem. Avas Hashem, of course, is the source for all of Chavivas HaMitzvahs. When you delve into mitzvahs, when you delve into the reason of the mitzvahs, with the understanding of Mitzvah Sech Ramanti, that will create the mindset of a tremendous sense of Avas Hashem, and by extension, Avas HaTorah, Avas HaMitzvahs. The question is, why is it so difficult? Sounds like the ABCs. What could potentially go wrong? So I think one of the things that can go wrong is also found in the Sefer Rosh Hashanah, long hold the Mitzvah Tkiyah Shofar. The Mishnah in the Sefer Rosh Hashanah describes when they used to blow the shofar in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to blow the shofar at the same time that they blew the chatzotzos, the silver trumpets, literally simultaneous. And the Gemara asked the question, wait a second, if the shofar is blowing and the chatzotzos are blowing, there's a mitzvah l'shmor kol shofar. You have to hear the shofar. Hagin hear the shofar. If something else is in the background, we have a principle called Trei Koli Lo Mishtamad. You can't hear two sounds at the same time. It's impossible. Comes the Gemara and says, no, that's not a problem. You know what? The Gemara says that since a Jew comes in Rosh Hashanah, the mitzvah of shofar is where his focus is. He really wants to hear the shofar. He will tune out the chatzotros. He will be, because of the love, the endearment, and mitzvah of shofar, he will be able to focus dafka on the shofar, even though there are other things in the background. The Gemara has the same principle when it comes to Maseches Megillah. The Gemara says that on Purim, you can have more than one balkar at the same time. 10 guys get up and lay in the Megillah. I'm not hearing anybody. The answer is, the chavivas ha-mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah is so profound that we'll be able to focus on one and kind of black out everybody else. You see two things from this Gemara, two chiddush from this Gemara. Chiddush number one is that Trei Koli Lo Mishtamad, when there are multiple things being thrown at you, you can't focus on one. The second thing you see from the Gemara is, if you really love one, you'll be able to tune out everything else. One of the tremendous challenges of our generation is we have the ability to hear so much. There are so many things, both physically, literally, and figuratively, so many sounds that are coming to us all at the same time. Just, you know, for a moment, get into your car and think about how many different messages, how many things are flying all at the same time. Your Waze is talking to you at the same time that your phone's going off. And you're trying to listen to CD at the same time, your kid's screaming in the back seat. And it's a miracle that anybody can function in today's world. There are so many things going on at the same time. Not only are so many things going on at the same time in terms of technology, but there are so many messages that are being blasted out, being thrown at us from all directions. Many of them we're using our ears to hear. Many of them our eyes are seeing. Many of them are coming through cyberspace. From all directions, there are messages that are coming. Halavai all the messages would be shofar and chatzotzros. Halavai we would have to choose between the chatzotzros of the base, the mikdash and the mitzvah of tkiyas shofar. Halavai. Question is, what's the answer? What's the secret? How are we going to possibly survive in such a world where we'd be inundated with so many multiple messages? And the answer goes back to Rashi. Chavivas ha-mitzvah. If it's chavivas ha-mitzvah, it's ma'avivas ha-sotan. If it's chavivas ha-mitzvah, then the other forces don't exist. I'm not goris them. They don't speak to me. It doesn't interest me. I'm so excited about Torah mitzvah. There's nothing else out there that interests me. So the mela for me, Trei Koli Lo Mishtamad is not relevant. Had a it's meant to be a Menachem Avil, a Rabbi Kahn, Baron Kahn, you know, one of the yeshivas there. Remember, he told us a story. I don't remember. I just told him this story recently. I don't remember whether he was telling a story about his father or his father-in-law. David Mishim Omer. What a suffix. Is it Chazal or suffix? What the truth is, I can have a suffix who the source of the story is. He was an older gentleman from Europe, and he was trying to describe, you know, what it means chavivas haTorah. What does it mean chavivas haMitzvah? He said, you know, if you take all the wonderful gifts of Olam Hazeh, put them on one side, you know, line them all up, the greatest of the great, the most enjoyable, most delicious, most absolutely luscious, beautiful things in Olam Hazeh. And you put one Tosfos on the other side, not even in the ballpark, not even a comparison. What was humorous about the story was that he said he was trying to, you know, as a man who grew up in Eastern Europe, came to America, he's trying to, you know, give me an example, a mashal of the most enjoyable possible physical pursuit you could possibly dream of in this world. Ochenbeck, please don't ask this question, anybody. What can you possibly think of? And he thought about it, and he said, you know, you put one Tosfos, and you put on the other side a scoop of vanilla ice cream. That was his, you know, in his mind, that was the greatest. Don't give this muscle to your kids, because vanilla ice cream, come on, that's not exactly the idea of pursuit of Olamaz. I think the message is clear. If you really love what you're doing, that all the vanilla ice cream in the world, the loch pachlis, it just doesn't interest me. because I'm focusing on the Chavivus HaMitzvah. I'm so in love with the Taisus. I'm so in love with the Dvar Hashem. So in love with the Tkir Shofar. Everything else out there, it's not a challenge. It's not a Satan anymore. Satan conjures up a very dangerous image of somebody coming at me with a pitchfork. It doesn't speak to me anymore. My greatest defense against the Satan of today's world is the Chavivus HaTorah and Chavivus HaMitzvah. What should our mindset be when we speak about Chavivus HaTorah and Mitzvahs? So I think we can go back to those psukim. Go back to those psukim. It's not for nothing that the Minhag Yisrael is to say these psukim right before Tkir Shofar. There's a pasuk that we say, Sos Anochi Alim Rasecha to Moitzei Shalom Rav. I am so happy, says David HaMelech, about your mitzvahs, about your Dvar Hashem, like somebody who just found a great treasure. So I ask you, imagine for a minute, you're walking the street, and you see a tremendous treasure. Tefker, it's Yiddish, whatever, the Lomnus Vil Matzias down now. I'm about to take it. And I see there's loads and loads, so much stuff, gold and silver. I start stashing it into my pockets, and I come to the following realization. I can't get it all in. The treasure chest is too heavy, and my pockets are so big. By the time it's going to take me to, by the time I finish, someone else is going to come and take half of it. So there are two individuals who deal with this phenomenon two different ways. There's one person who breaks down and starts to cry because he knows in his heart of hearts he will never be able to take the entire treasure with him. And he realizes that he's going to leave more behind than he takes. And he starts to cry. And there's another person who realizes the same exact realization. 90% of the treasure will stay behind and someone else is going to get it. He'll never see it. But guess what? The 10% that he's able to stick into his pockets, he'll be able to enjoy for many, many years to come. And he's so excited and so happy. True, 90% left behind, 10% goes with him. Comes over to Melch and says, Sasa Neichel Masech, Kamaita Shalom Rav. I just found the Shalom Rav. It just arrived. It's a Shalom Rav. It's a gewaldig, a wonderful treasure. Am I Boche, Kamaita Shalom Rav? Or am I Sas, Kamaita Shalom Rav? The fool is the Boche, the Chocham is the Sas. This interpretation of the Pasuk was said, believe it or not, by none other than Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Kibega writes in that dumb one of the Svarim that he realizes he's getting older. From the Kibega speaking, Kol Tarku Tachas Yado. Comes to the Kibega, says he realizes he's getting older, and he's going to go to the old Emma soon, and he's going to leave behind most of the Torah. 99.99% of Torah he didn't touch. Kibega. Let's put things into perspective. 99% of the treasure will remain behind. Says the Kibega, there's a lot of room to cry, but I will not succumb. Says the Kibega. I will not give in to the crying. You gave me the opportunity for something. I can grab onto some Divrei Torah. I'm going to make the most of that Divrei Torah. But I have a kasha on this pasuk. I have a kasha on the equation. He knows I like to draw equations on the board. I never did all that well in high school math. So you know, people think that if I draw equations the only equation I ever remember, x squared plus y squared, something like that, okay? equals mc squared, that's about the extent of my math knowledge. So I said, Nechel, the second Moshe Shalom Rav, I drew an equation on the board. A guy sitting and learning, a guy found the treasure. Equal. So I said, Kim, Chafadimian, the extent of my dictum, Kim Moshe Shalom Rav, like a person who just found the treasure. That's a cash on David HaMelech. I have a kasha in David HaMelech from David HaMelech himself. Toivli teres picha me'alfei zov v'chesef. David HaMelech says that Torah is an inequality sign. It's a carrot, you know, side by carrot. Torah is in the higher end. Torah is greater than Motze Shalom Rav. Torah is greater than Kesef Azov. So which one is it? Is it equal? Is that I'm about as excited I am about this Rambam as I am about winning the lottery? It's just about equal. Or is it, no, it's not even in the ballpark. One is so much greater, infinitely greater than the other. So which one is it? I think the answer lies in the following word, Kemaitze. At the time of the Mitzia, when you first bump into Torah, when Torah Mitzvah first becomes part of your life, it's great, it's Geschmack. It's about as Geschmack as an ice cream. It's about as Geschmack. I get as much out of the Torah Mitzvah as I do out of finding the treasure. Equal, pretty much equal, it's the same. $1 to $10 million lottery, yeah, that's like understanding a Tysus, yeah? Okay, so just about equal. When you get into it a little bit more, it's no longer the Shasta Mitzia. get into it longer and longer and more and more and more, mitzvah deris mitzvah, then you come to a much higher level of understanding and realization that toivli teiras picha me'al feiz lava chesef. It's like measuring two things that are not measurable to one another. They have no shaychas. They're in different realms, different planes. You can't compare apples to oranges. They're not the same. Torah, the satisfaction, the kivas olikim, the vegas b'shem you get out of Torah and mitzvahs, out of a life in Torah and mitzvahs, you can't even talk about the treasures in the same breath. Even David Melch took him time to come to that realization. When he first started Torah, he first came into his wife's first Shabbaton, it was nice. Shabbos is nice. And going to the ball game on Sunday is also nice. And this event is also nice. A lot of it's a nice experience. It's a chavaya, as they say. And then when you do it enough times, not a chavaya, it's not an experience. It's kihem chayin v'rechemenu. Nothing else even holds up to it. Nothing else is even on the blackboard in terms of equations. One of the things that can sometimes interfere with our ability to reach some of these lifelong goals that the Melech is referring to, the Gneg is referring to, going back to the Moshel, the person who finds something that's lost. When you talk about a Metziah, we have a relationship to the Torah as an Aveda, the Metziah. An Aveda means I owned it in the past, I had a Shaychus to it, I had a connection to it, and now something happened along the way that I can't find it. That's our relationship to Torah. A Jew has to view his relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his relationship to Torah and Mitzvahs, as it was always part of him. We all stood at Har Sinai. It's all part of our essence. They call him Yiddish, the Pitli Yid. Each and every person, whether they are observant right now, not yet observant, Torah and Mitzvahs is Abba Rosh HaKadosh Yaakov. It's for all of us equally. We all have a Shaychus to Torah. The fact that right now, maybe I'm not keeping Shabbos, right now, maybe I'm not learning, right now, I'm not yet, it's an Aveda. It's lost. I have to find it. There's a halacha in Eilu Metzias, the sugyas of Hashavas Aveda. There's only one thing that can put an end to the status of your ownership, of your connection to the lost object. What is that? Yush. If you give up. If you despair, if you say, I'll never get there, I'll never find it, then it's all over. Guess what? Then it doesn't belong to you anymore. That's our approach to the Eilu Metzias. There are always times in our lives where we find ourselves closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are times where we find ourselves more distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tachi Daki Shalom. The time when we find ourselves distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the Torah and the mitzvahs and that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is almost like an Aveda. It's something lost. We know we own it. We've been there before. We remember that somehow last Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, last Pesach, Purim, we know we had the ability to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know we could do it, but we're lost. Part of the reason why we're lost, maybe we weren't focusing on the kol haShofar. Maybe some of the other kolos infiltrated and found a way, and different values and different goals and different things have kind of seeped in between the cracks, and that's why we're having difficulty, and we feel that we're lost from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Where do you go from here? So I lost it. I lost my wallet. What do I do now? I can tell you what you don't do. Don't ever give up hope. Never, ever, ever give up hope. You say from the Kutzka, and I started by saying it's going to be a Litvish Shia, but you know, equal times, everyone. And equal, unequal, whatever you want to call it, whatever the mess goes on. Say from the Kutzka, a famous Gemara in Lamatzia, it's about Yerushalom Midas. So it really has a halachic meaning, but it has an important Ashkatan meaning also. Yerushalom Midas, says the Kutzka, if you're Mesiyahish, if you give up hope, it shows you're not a Bardas. It shows you're not a Christian person. It shows that you're just not focusing. Don't give up hope. Each and every Jew has that ability to reconnect, to connect back to Torah Mitzvahs, because it's part of each and every one of us. So we touched on a few important themes that start off with Kriya Shofar, some of the psukim and the nuances, things that we speak about in Rosh Hashanah, both explicitly and in between the lines. And the common denominator seems to be our goal in Rosh Hashanah is literally L'Arev HaSatan, not a negative goal, a very positive goal. We're trying to somehow push away, confuse, okay? get off our radar screen some of those things that are perhaps interfering with our Avodas Hashem throughout the entire year. The greatest way for us to do that, the Arvas HaSatan, is through Chavivas HaMitzvahs, through a reconnecting to a love of Torah Mitzvahs for ourselves, for our Talmidim, the best way possible, the Arvas HaSatan. There's another meaning of the Arvas HaSatan. And that's Tosfos quotes. Yesh b'farshim, yesh omrim. Lav v'sof means something totally different, or seemingly totally different. Says Tosfos. You know lav v'sof means? Get up in shul, Rosh Hashanah morning, you blow the shofar. So the Sultan sitting in Shemayim, and here the Jews are blowing shofar. Big deal. They eat matzah on Pesach, and they shake a wolf on Sukkah. That doesn't scare the Sultan. So he has to keep shofar. Big deal. Then wait a second. They stop. They finish the davening. All of a sudden, they're blowing again. The Sultan scratching his head. Wait a second. They're reacting. He looks up and I don't know hulchas keshofar satonim. I don't know exactly what he's saying. He looks up and he says, "Wait a second. They finished the mitzvah. What are they blowing again?" Oh my goodness, Dr. Sultan. It must be that this is the kol of Shal Mashiach. This is the kol that we don't have. This is the kol of Ahayu B'Yomu Yitach B'Shofar Gadol. And then the Sultan realizes, guess what? I'm out of a job. When the Shofar Shal Mashiach blows, there's no room for me anymore. And he gets Urvav, he gets all mixed up, and it gets the plug in. That's the second set of kolos. Fascinating. Shot of Yesh B'Farshim. But I think there's something deeper here as well. I don't think that Rashi's pshat and Tosfos's pshat are all that different from one another. I think they're saying the same thing. Why is it that La'asad Lavo, the Sultan is going to be out of a job? What great thing is going to happen in the Moshe Mashiach that somehow the Sultan's not going to have anything to do? What's going to happen? So the Rabbim tells us there's not going to be any major supernatural change in the order of things. Olam Kivin Hazanayeg. So what's going to happen? What is going to change? Umala ha'aretz be'es Hashem. The Rambam says, quotes in the Gemara, Ein bet olam hazeh, yodam haba, limos ha'mashiach, l'shibur malchios buvan. Shibur malchios has many, many different meanings to it. Shibur malchios, in the literal sense, instigated by a non-Jewish government. It's a terrible thing. But there are many, many other shiburim malchios as well. Shibur malchios means things that we find ourselves meshubur to. Values, things that we find ourselves subjugated to, but all those things will disappear. That's Yimos HaMashiach. And how will the world look? It's not going to look so different, except in one sense. Umala ha'aretz deya es Hashem. The Rambam, the last Rambam, Ruchas Malachim, it's kedai for every person to look up this Rambam. You want chizuk, this is the Rambam to go, many, many Rambams to look at. This is one you have to look at. Says the Rambam, poses the question, why do the Nevi'im and the Chacham spend so much time dreaming about Yimos HaMashiach? Why do we say every day, what are we daven for? What? For where? For who? Lo nis'avu ha'chachamim by Nevi'im and Yimos HaMashiach. Not that we should be on the top of the world, and not that we should wage war. No, says the Rambam. Why? Because the world will be a place of Mol Arzdeyas Hashem, Kamayim, Yam HaChazim, possibly said by Tashlech. Says the Rambam, and the Rambam describes the most beautiful poetic description that every person will want one thing, l'da'asas Hashem. Every person will want to grow in Torah. Every person will want l'da'as Hashem, and by definition means l'alves Hashem. The dream that we've been talking about as individuals will become the norm of society. Imagine a world for a second where the goal of the world, everybody, the Yasuchun, Agudachasasa, imagine that an entire world revolves around the Das of Hashem. That's a world. There's no place for something. So I think that perhaps Rashi is focusing on the here and now. Namely, what as individuals can we do to create our own Chavivas HaMitzvahs, to create a little bit of Yimos HaMashiach, so to speak, a little bit of that culture in our own small worlds, in our own shuls and schools of Chavivas HaMitzvah. Tosfos talk about the grandiose level, the future of the world. How is that future of the world going to be created? It's going to start with each and every individual. The more that we work in ourselves, and the more we instill in those we come into contact with, and the more we create our shuls and our schools a place of Chavivas HaMitzvah, place of Avas Hashem, place of love of Torah and Mitzvos, it's going to be those little building blocks that are ultimately going to create the world of Umol Arzdeyas Hashem. We have a lot of things to blow for this Rosh Hashanah, a lot of things to think about. Those psukim of Sasa Nachal Masecha Motzei Shel Rav, the psukim of Tuv Tam V'Dasam Deiniki V'Tzedecha Emhanti, everything and anything and everything that we can do to create a greater level of Avas Hashem and Avas HaTorah B'Mitzvos, those are the things that should be thinking about and focusing in on the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. Hope the Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us as individuals in Klai Yisrael the Siyata Dishmaya to be able to reach that level of Tekav Shofar Gadol L'Chavisenu, to herald in a new world, a world of where There's only one sound, the sound of the shofar, the sound of Umal Arz, Yes Hashem. Everybody, Ksivachim Tova, Shem Chaim Hashalom, Asad Ol Klai Yisrael, Bet Hashem, she'll be part of that beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.